How is everyone doing? Great. I got one fantastic. That's who I'm preaching to this morning. Now, we don't preach because you're fantastic. We preach because God is fantastic. And he transforms us as we spend time in his presence, like we did this morning. Didn't you just love that time of worship? So powerful. God speaking so clearly about his grace, about his mercy, about his love. And I love Sunday by Sunday. I love being in this church. I love getting to know all of you better and better. And by the way, my name is Mbonisi, and I'm part of the leadership team here at One Tribe. And if you're new here, I want to add my welcome to the welcome that you've already received. We're a new church, and we love new people. And so it's really great that you can be here with us this morning. And as usual, we have a number of brothers and sisters from the deaf community, and it really is good to have you here. I've been learning some sign language, which we're going to try out. How are you? They're nodding because I'm doing so well, and they're going like this, which means fine. So I learned that just now. Maybe you guys can learn that as well. We're going to try it all out loud together. Out loud means doing the actions. Can you turn to the person next to you and do that? You can practice a little bit. Seriously, they're taking such a big step by coming and being amongst a group of people who can hear. The least we can do is learn a little bit of sign language. Are you getting it? If I can get it, I know you can get it. Fantastic. And then we'll try one more. This is hot off the press. Okay? Vincent, you got to help me, man. God is good. Did you get that? Okay, you got to. I'll do it slowly for you. God is good. Is that okay? Amen. Fantastic. And we also have a friend of mine, a guest, Tongai. Come on up here. Tongai is from Zimbabwe, which is where Tash and I live before living in Nairobi. Tongai, he's here in town for a week, and I was thinking this morning on the way here, I haven't seen him for maybe 2 years, I think. And Tongai and I met in university. This was almost 20 years ago now. And I was a couple of years ahead of him. And he arrived from a high school in the middle of the country. And if I remember correctly, he would wear a T-shirt saying things like, "Do you know what happens?" Was that you?
Yes, yes.
"Do you know what happens to people who don't believe in God?" And I won't tell you what the back said. I think the back said bad things, man, bad things. Yes. And God has softened his heart over the years. And we were in the same life group together. And he met his wife in university, and they got married soon after. And now Tongai is the lead elder in a church in Zimbabwe that I think possibly more than any other church I know in the world embodies a heart for the poor, embodies a heart for the nation, and embodies a heart for the nations. And through initiatives like Farming God's Way, Foundations for Farming, which some of you would have heard of, that was nurtured and grown in River of Life Westgate, the church that Tongai leads. And through that, I don't know how many nations Farming God's Way, Foundations for Farming are in. 5, 6,
more,
7, 8. 40 or 50 nations with a gospel of good news to the poor through hands-on application of the gospel, especially in the area of farming, but also in other areas. And Tongai, it's just fantastic to have you here with us, even briefly. I'd love us to pray for Tongai. Is that okay? Can I have two ladies who haven't prayed for anyone yet in this meeting and two men who haven't prayed for anyone else in this meeting to come on up and pray as quickly as you can? Man out of the block. Yeah, come on up. Another guy, come on up. You're gonna have to walk faster than that, Tawanda. We're not great. We'll have three guys, Tawanda as well, Muthewu. Can we have one more lady as well? That'd be fantastic. Sean, can we give them a mic and let's pray our best prayer? Maybe Tawanda and Muthewu, or just a couple of you, pray your best prayers for Tongai and for what he represents.
Lord, we thank you this morning for Tongai and for you bringing him to us this day. We thank you for the great work that you're doing through the church that he's a part of. And we thank you that even in nations far and wide that you're alive and well. And we pray that you would bless the work of their hands and the ministries that they're a part of, that the poor of the world will get to be blessed and uplifted because of their work, Lord. Yes. We pray a blessing over them, Lord. Bless we pray them, that you would meet them at their every point of need.
Yes.
And that you would truly be the God that fights for them, that goes before them and meets their every need in Jesus' name.
Thank you, God. We thank you that you're such a practical God and that you care about those who are working the land, those who don't have much, but the gospel can touch them in such a powerful way. We thank you for this ministry. Thank you for Tongai and his wife and for the church that they're a part of. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Fantastic. Grab a seat. Let's give Tongai a hand. So good. So good to have you here. And so if you wonder, church, are we making a difference? Can we make a difference? The reality is, yes, we can, because we're not in it alone. We've got brothers and sisters in Dubai and the United Arab Emirates and in Asia, all over the world. And here's the deal, and part of what Just Walk Across the Room is about, is if you change your world and I change my world, together we can change the world. That's how it works. And Just Walk Across the Room is about changing the world one heart at a time. We're in week 3 out of 4. Next week is the last message in our series, Just Walk Across the Room. And the week after that, we'll be starting an exciting new series. We preached through the book of Jonah a couple of months back and took 4 weeks to do that. And we're starting our next book series in 2 weeks' time. And we're doing a series on the book called The Song of Songs, and I'm just so excited about it, and we'll unpack that book together. But it is a celebration of love, a celebration of romance, a celebration of sexuality, and a celebration of marriage. And this will be a particularly good series. As God's people, we're not just called to gather on Sundays and talk to each other. Did you know that? But God wants us as his people to talk to the city. And you are part of the city, but you are not all of the city. Is this revelation to you? And so when we do series like this, it's a great opportunity. If you know anyone who is single, this is a great series for them. If you know anyone who is in a romantic relationship or desires a romantic relationship, this is a great series for them. If you know anyone who's in a relationship or in a marriage that needs strengthening, this is an absolutely fantastic series to get them along to. And we're really trusting God that he's going to speak into our hearts, but not just that he's going to speak through his word into this great city of Nairobi. And so you can be praying about that, please, and even start inviting your friends and family along now. But for now, we are in week 3 out of our 4 week, Just Walk Across the Room series. I've absolutely loved it. How have you found it? Good, bad, or ugly?
Great.
I'm really, really glad. I've been so blessed. You know, we're in one of the Just Walk Across the Room groups that meets around the city. And as we talk to one another, as we just talk as friends, it's just fantastic. God doing a work in our hearts. We were having a meal with someone yesterday, and they just said, you know what? I was impacted by what I learned in my Just Walk Across the Room group. The guy who was talking, he said something like, the guy who was talking on the DVD said, do we really believe that having God in your life is the best thing for someone? And this sister I was talking to, she said, you know, I stopped and I thought, do I really believe that? Because, you know, God is doing a work in our hearts. And talking to someone else over a meal and just talking about a significant faith journey conversation they had with one of their friends. Never quite broached this territory before, and just God using that. And God is at work amongst us, friends. It's a really, really exciting thing. And we're going to kick off with week 3 today. And what we're going to do is we're going to start off with a word association game. Here's how it works. I'm going to say a word that's up on the screen. And then you've got to have a partner, like the person you practice the sign language with. You've got to have someone who you can turn to, and you can tell them the first thing that comes to mind when that word comes up on the screen. Does that make sense? Okay, but here's the deal. You can't overthink this. You've got to give us your first initial gut reaction as soon as it comes up. Mbesa, are you with me? She's with me. Fantastic. All right, here's the first word. Mona. Now, don't say it to me. Say it to the person next to you. I heard a couple of Lisas. I can tell you have got it. You are a quick crowd. Fantastic. Okay. Second word. World Cup. I'm hearing some rushes out there. Great. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Holiday. The beach, someone said very, very quickly. How about this one? Mountain. Next one. Chadwick Boseman. Wasn't that a great movie? If you're wondering who is Chadwick Boseman, please, I'll explain afterwards. It is very, very important. Two more. President. I've got no idea why you're all laughing, but I'm glad you're having a good time. Church should be fun. Last one now. Born again Christian. It is more than one word. Do you know what I would find so fascinating? I would be really interested to know. I wish that we could, if we had sound sensors that could pick up the things that you just said now when born again Christian came to mind, and if we could electronically tabulate them and put them up on the screen. Or perhaps even more interesting, if we could get 100 Nairobians and find out what they think, what are their first gut-level reactions when they hear or think about born-again Christians. I suspect some of the answers we'd get would be like this. Born-again Christians! Boring! I've been reading my sermon notes. I would describe the ones I know as upright, narrow, and rigid. Or maybe, yep, I knew some of them at school, and one of them, he seemed to keep to himself mostly. Didn't hang out with the rest of us much. I know some Christians, they tend to hang out with their own type. Christians? What a turnoff. We have one at work, and hanging around her, man, I feel judged if I even breathe wrong. She's so self-righteous and haughty. Christians? Yeah, the problem with them is they have their nice, cute Bible verses that they throw at the world's most complex problems. Seriously? Now, I hope that some of those things wouldn't be said about born-again Christians. And more importantly, I hope some of those things wouldn't be even true about born-again Christians. But thinking about our sphere of influence, maybe we can commit as one tribe to being a group of people that want to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And I don't know about you, but I dream about a day when maybe one day people would hear the word born-again Christian and they think, Christians, man, they are people who are full of integrity. That's what I think about when I hear the word Christian. Integrity and moral courage. Christians, they're the most compassionate people that I know. They're kind to everyone. Christians, they are truth tellers. Man, they talk to you straight. Christians, they have an incredible concern for the poor. Man, no one cares for the poor like the Christians that we know. They're giving their money to the poor. They're spending time with the poor. They're empowering the poor. They're uplifting the poor and giving them dignity. Christians, man, they have an amazing inner strength. Christians, those are the radically inclusive guys. Are those the guys you're talking about? Christians, they're the ones who reach out to people regardless of their background or what they've done. Christians, they're the ones always walking across rooms. If there's someone in need of encouragement, Christians are always the ones making the first move. Christians, man, they are just so loving. They love people, and they love Black Panther. Friends, all of those things, except that very last one, I dream about one day. That is what we as Christ followers would be known for. That would be the vibe on the street. And one more thing, what we want to tackle this morning. Wouldn't it be great if one day we'd hear on the streets of Nairobi, man, Christians? Man, if you ever talk to a Christian about what they believe, they are just so pumped up and passionate and crystal clear. You just can't misunderstanding what's on their hearts. Man, do they believe it? And man, can they communicate it so clearly? Do you dream about that too? If so, you are in the right place. And if not, hang around anyway. This week, what we want to do is we want to tackle two questions. Firstly, how do we talk about God in a way that's full of clarity and passion? And secondly, how do we convey our personal faith stories in a way that is humble and interesting? Three main things to communicate this morning. The first thing is this. Stories and the words that you and I use to tell them are powerful. Stories are powerful. I've got some verses that we just want to go through. And the purpose of these verses, don't try to turn to all of them. We're going to be moving too fast. But the purpose of these verses is just to flood you and I with a biblical understanding of the power and purpose of the words that God has given us to speak every day. Here's the first one. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Words, and specifically God's words in our lives, give light. They give even the simple understanding. Proverbs 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Words can bring healing. Ecclesiastes, the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. As we speak wisdom into a situation, it's heeded, especially when we speak it quietly. Pleasant words are a honeycomb. Can everyone say, Sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Isn't that a fantastic image? Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. Last one. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. Our words can descend like dew. Friends, God has endued our words with a supernatural power. What kind of words do you speak? If we were to take a poll of the people in your workplace, in your family, people who maybe live under the same roof as you, what kind of words would they use to describe your words? Wise words, gentle words, healing words, gracious words. And the reason this is so important is because words are powerful. Imagine if we could leverage this gracious, healing, light-giving, life-giving, wisdom-imparting power of words into communicating two things. First, God's story, what He's done for all of us. And secondly, our faith story, what God has done in our lives. And that brings us on to the next second and third points that we're going to tackle this morning. But what we want to achieve is, how can we get God's story told well and your story told well? So well that people walk away saying, that was so easy to understand and I enjoyed hearing that. And I want some of what they're talking about. That's what we're going for today. Point number one down, move on to point number two. God has a story and we're going to learn to tell it well. Now, if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you'll know that we spoke about living in 3D. And we're all going to impress each other by remembering the 3Ds as I ask for them. The first D in our walking across the room and sharing what God has done. The first D is develop friendships. There was one outlier somewhere over there. No one knows who you are. That's right, develop friendships. Is that something we can do? The second D is dumb that one down, discover stories. Tash, you don't get points for just saying mm-hmm. You're supposed to say the point out at the same time. Discover stories. That means, Christians, for just a few moments, shut up and listen to the person in front of you with a genuine interest. The third D we learned about last week is discern next steps, because the Holy Spirit is on the same mission that we are on. Isn't that cool? And all the while, He's giving us wisdom about things that will be helpful in serving the person in front of us. And here's the deal. If you and I are faithful to develop friendships, if we're faithful to discover stories, if we're faithful to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, then after a while, what you're going to find is, maybe not all, maybe not even most, but some of the people who we're developing friendships with and who we're discovering their stories and taking a genuine interest and we're discerning next steps, saying, God, please tell me, how can I help this person? From time to time, you're going to have someone come along to you and say, hey, listen, you've been a good friend to me. You've listened to the things that are on my heart. You've helped me in ways that you can. Listen, could you please just tell me some of your story? And specifically, I know you're a Christ follower. Tell me what this Christ thing is all about. Now, we're going to do a quick test. If someone said to you today, hey, I know you're a Christ follower. Could you explain to me what this Christ following thing is all about? Too many of us would start to get twitches in our eye. And our palms would start to get sweaty. And we'd start talking about how we wish our pastor was here because he's better than you at explaining these things. But our goal is that after this morning, if someone asks you exactly that question, your shoulders are going to loosen up a little bit. You're going to sit up straight, maybe lean forward a little bit, and you're going to say, oh, I am so glad you asked. Oh, if that's where you want to go, listen up. I'm going to make it very, very brief. But this is how I understand these things. Now, there's a great tool that I found really useful over the years. And some of you would be familiar with it. Can everyone see this? Ryan, you can't see it. Ryan, could you move chairs? Ryan, you're okay. Can everyone see? You trust? Awesome. And I'm going to explain this to you very briefly. And before the end of this meeting, you're all going to have an opportunity. We've got a spare pen for you to borrow. We've got some paper for you to practice on, and we have someone for you to practice with. They're sitting right next to you right now. But before the end of this morning, all of you are going to have an opportunity to practice communicating God's story in this way. A lot of you will have heard it. It's called the bridge. I'm going to do it, and then you're going to have a chance to do it in a little while. The first thing we've got to do, and if you're not a Christ follower, by the way, I'm going to be talking to you, and the already Christ followers are going to be listening in, but I am talking to you. The first thing we've got to understand in the God story is to establish two realities: God and people. This is what the Christian story is about. Can everyone see this? Brent, can you see this? You can. Awesome. If you can't, feel free to move forward a bit. God made us, and He loves us, and He has a plan for our lives. We are the people. There is a problem, a big problem. As people, we have a tendency to want to do things our own way and rebel against God. The Bible calls that sin, and sin has created a great rift, kind of like a valley, between us and God. A lot of us are aware of this gap between us and God, and because we're aware of this gap, what we try and do is we try and bridge the gap by doing good things. Not hitting our little brother. Giving money to the poor. Driving nicely through Nairobi traffic without too many bad words. But the reality is, no matter how hard you or I try, none of our efforts are enough to bridge the gap to get us back to God. That's the bad news. We can't do it. But the good news is, God did for us what we could never do for ourselves. He sent His Son, Jesus, to live a perfect life, the perfect life that you and I could never live, and to die on a cross, taking the punishment for my sin and for your sin. And in doing that, Jesus made a way. He bridged the gap. He made a way for us to get back to God. And even this morning, if you're not yet a Christ follower, you have the opportunity to become a follower of Jesus, to walk across the bridge that Jesus is by believing in Him and trusting Him. The Bible says it so well in the book of John. It says, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me," who believes God, "has eternal life and will not be condemned." He has crossed over from death to life. Have you crossed over? If you're not yet sure, have I crossed over? You can cross over today. And we'd love to pray with you before the morning is over. But this is the greatest story ever told. This is the truest story ever told. This is the story that we were singing about this morning. One of the songs we sung was saying, "Your grace is enough. What Jesus did on the cross is enough. It's enough to transform your heart. It's enough to forgive your sin. It's enough that when you and I communicate this story, it is enough to change the hearts of the people who receive the story. God's grace is enough to transform a city. God's grace is enough for Nairobi to be corruption-free, murder-free, adultery-free. God's grace is enough. Heaven's grace isn't empty. I don't know about you, but often just as we're getting ready to go to bed, we'll start to hear the pitter-patter of rain on the roof. Does that happen in your suburb as well? And often when it happens, I think, is it raining again? Oh man, it's like it just doesn't stop raining. It just rains and rains and rains. And God was saying to us this morning, my grace is the same. And when you and I read in the newspaper, man, the water levels are rising. Parts of the city are totally submerged. Rivers are bursting their banks. They are washing things away that blocked them before. God says, that's kind of like what my grace is like. My grace that comes into your heart. And you and I, as children of God, we get to stand under the shower, the deluge of God's grace. That is what it means to be a Christian, to be recipients of this grace and to say, thank you, God. Wash away my sin. Take charge of my life. But this grace doesn't just come to us. This grace comes through us. That's why God doesn't take us to heaven the moment we become followers of Jesus. Because he wants us to not just be recipients of this grace, but to be transmitters of this grace. And this is a great way, a simple way of sharing this. And those of you who were in a J-War group, a Just Walk Across the Room group this last week, you might have heard the story of Bill, the author of this series, and a guy, one of his friends called Dave. And he was working on Dave for a number of years, developing friendship, discovering his story, discerning next steps. And after years of talking to his friend Dave, Bill wanted to find out how far is Dave on his journey towards following Jesus. And so they went out for breakfast together, and they sat down. It was one of those restaurants that has, benches in a booth. And then next to it, there are more benches in another booth. And they're sitting down in one of these booths. And Bill sketched out exactly this diagram on a napkin or something like that. And he says, look, Dave, I know you've heard the story before, and I just want to understand from you. If getting onto the bridge here is becoming a Christ follower, where on this diagram would you say you are? A great question for you to answer for yourself this morning. Would you say that you are right over here, just about ready, almost there, to cross over the bridge? Or would you say that you are somewhere over here, far away from being ready to cross the bridge? And Bill's friend Dave said to him, Bill, I hate to break it to you. And that should probably have been Bill's first warning sign, yeah? But he said, Bill, if here is just about ready to receive Christ, and if here is far away, Bill, I think I'm in the next booth somewhere over there. But Bill didn't give up. And some of you heard the story in your J-War groups this week. As he drove away, he didn't think this is never going to work. He thought, you know what? I've been faithful to share this story one more time. And I'm going to keep on being faithful. And we heard in the DVDs this week that Dave did in fact end up crossing the line of faith, becoming a Christ follower, and now he's serving God in various ways. So here's the deal, team. You might choose some other illustration to remember. I've committed this one to memory. You might want to do that too. It doesn't have to be this one. It can be a different one. But listen, let's every single one of us have something ready, so that when God blows doors wide open after we've been developing friendships, discovering stories, discerning next steps, we're able to communicate God's story with crystal clarity. Does that make sense? Your job isn't to change anybody's heart. That's God's job. Your role is when you're prompted to give a tender, thoughtful, clear, and passionate understanding of who God is and what he's done for each person. Nothing more and nothing less. Okay, final point for this morning. God has a story. Learn to tell it well. But thirdly and finally, you have a story. Learn to tell it well. Listen, you have a powerful story. If you're a follower of Jesus today, chances are that you are different now after having followed Jesus from the way that you were before you started following Jesus. We're a bit like the leper in Luke chapter 5. The Message Bible says one day in one of the villages there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him in prayer and said, "If you want to, you can cleanse me." Jesus put out his hand, touched him, and said, "I want to be clean." Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that this leper, he's just encountered Jesus, and he's just been made totally clean. He's been 100% healed. And I want you to imagine that K24 or CNN comes up to the leper, and they start interviewing him. "Tell us your story." I think he'd say something like, "I was a leper, and then I met Jesus, and now I'm healed, totally healed." I can imagine what would have been going through his mind a few hours after his healing. Thoughts like, you know, "Before I was sick, but now I'm well. I was an outcast, but now I'm accepted. Before I was hopeless, but now I have a future." Here's the point. For those of us in this room who are followers of Jesus, we also have a before and an after. That's pretty much what people need to know to start off with. What were you like before you came to Christ? What was the experience like of embracing faith in him? And what are you like after that decision? You'll come across fantastic examples of well-told before and after stories in your Just Walk Across the Room reading this week. Remember that this week's assignment is to read chapters 7, 8, and 9. How's the reading going, by the way? There's great. Chapters 6, 7, 8. Is that right? I'm reliably informed. Thank you for that correction. Here are the bare-bone essentials of a few before and afters. "I was striving, but now I'm at peace." How many of you that's true for you? "I was self-destructive, but now I'm healthy." "I was guilty, but now I'm liberated." "I was fear-stricken, but now I'm confident." "I was despairing, but now I'm hopeful." Friends, your own before and after story doesn't have to be more complicated than this. So I was growing up in church and attending conferences. There's one conference people sung. It was some ex-drug addicts. And it was the days of hip-hop, so they had their jeans down like this, and they would dance like this. Do you remember this, Tash? And they'd sing, and they had this song. I've never forgotten the words of it. And the words of it went like this. In fact, "I'll only do this if you will do it with me." Or should I just move on to the next point? "You'll do it with me, Muthewu." You're nodding like you're going to be right there. Is that okay? You've got to say it with a bit of a gangster voice. But they would go, here we go. They'd go, "I am a miracle." That's your bit.
"I am a miracle."
Okay, but there's no attitude in that. You know, you're just kind of like, I am a miracle. Okay, you got to loosen up a little bit. Here we go. I am a miracle. Saved by the grace of God.
Listen,
you got to be quick. You go, I am made alive, sanctified by Jesus Christ. Okay, we're going to sing it twice, and you've got to have it by the second time. Is that okay? All right. I am a miracle.
No.
You sing it with me this time now. Okay. 1, 2, 3, go. I am a miracle, saved by the grace. Quickly, I am made alive, sanctified by Jesus Christ. Have you got it? One last time now. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go.
I am a miracle.
Saved by who?
Saved by
who are you? Made alive, sanctified by Jesus. Give yourselves a hand. Well done. Give it up. But you know, simple song, but that stuck with me. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, it's not because you made some good life choices. You and I are miracles. Why? We've been saved by the grace of God. God the Father sent God the Son to die on a cross 2,000 years ago for you and me. Then he poured out his Spirit so that believers down through the generations would convey, transfer, faithfully transmit this great central message. And down through the centuries, over 2,000 years, this story hit my heart, it hit your heart, and it's changed our lives forever. We are miracles. Not because of good things we have done, but it's the grace of God. And it makes us humble. And it makes us eager to tell other people about this story. And so we say, look, before I was lost, but now I am found. The end. It doesn't have to get more complicated, friends. If you're like me, I hear people who've got the good testimonies. Do you know the good testimonies? People who come and they've got tattoos, got earrings, and they say, man, I was in a gang. I was into sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Then I turned 8. And I hear these stories, I think my story isn't as good as that. No, friends, your story is every bit as good as that. Because the same grace that found the worst of sinners, Saul, who became Paul, the same grace that will save a drug addict on the streets of Nairobi is the same grace that saved you and I and found us dead in our transgressions and made us alive in Jesus Christ. This is the message we share. I was, then Jesus, and now I am. Now, this sounds very, very simple, and you are right. It is very, very simple. But quick, just before we close, I want to share with you 3 or 4 ways in which, as Christ followers, it is possible for us to totally screw this up. Believe me. How do we screw this? How do we mess this up? Number one, sometimes as Christians, we just won't shut up. Have you ever been around a Christian like that? If not, then you might be that Christian. You know, there's a law of supply and demand. And as Christians, sometimes we oversupply. And not just meet, not just kill, but slaughter the demand. Even when the poor, not yet Christians, are sending nonverbal and verbal cues that we have had enough, thank you, we just keep on pumping it out. A second way that we derail our faith stories is when we're sharing this, what God has done in our lives, and we're fuzzy about the core theme. I was Jesus, now I am. We start going down all kinds of bunny trails and different roads and things like that. Derails our story. A third way that we derail our stories is when we get into Christianese. Have you heard of Christianese? Can you speak Christianese? What's that? Bless God. Muthewa, you need help, man. We get into Christianese when we use language and we talk in a way that normal people can't understand and don't talk like. Do you know some Christians who do that? Oh, glory to God, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. It's like, sir, you're in Java, here's your coffee, please go sit down. If you don't believe me, check out this next clip that we've got from our Just Walk Across the Room group kit.
Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of God. Thou shalt no longer be termed forsaken.
Friends, these are the things that we inflict upon the city of Nairobi. We can do better. The last way that we derail our faith stories is we derail our faith stories. We don't just derail them, we cause them to crash and burn when we, as Christ followers, play the superiority card. If you give the impression that you've got your act completely together and that you're better than everyone else, friends, the only way for your faith story is down. Check out this last clip.
I pray all the time now. I pray for friends like you, you know, whose lives are going nowhere. I pray for understanding that God will help me know what's wrong with people so that, you know, I can be a lifesaver for them.
That was just bad. Team, we can do this better, and we can do this together. And so, if you like, during the course of this week, I'd encourage you to give some time to writing down your faith story in 100 words or less. 100 words saying, this is what I was. Jesus, he's the hero of the story. Now this is what I am, because of Jesus. And if you want to do that, if you're in a J-Wall group, you can give that, you can email it, WhatsApp it to your J-Wall group leader, and he can give you some tips and pointers to help you sharpen it, because iron sharpens iron. If you're not in a J-Wall group, then you can send it to this email address, kirby@onetribe.church, and again, one of the J-Wall team can help you sharpen your testimony so that it is ready, and we can serve those who we are talking to well. But before we close now, what we're going to do is, like I promised, we're going to practice the bridge illustration. And so we're just going to take 3 minutes to do this. And the bridge, I did it backwards over there. That's okay. It doesn't matter which way around you do it. It's this simple story. People, God, sin causes a rift. We try fill it with things that will never get us back to God. And that's why God sent Jesus to bridge the gap. And we can cross over from death to life by believing in Jesus. So we're just giving you 3 minutes in pairs to practice that right now. And if you haven't got a pen, are we getting pens into people's hands? Thank you so, so much. And you should, you can get a piece of paper as well. There's Jonathan giving out some pens. And we're going to time this to give ourselves just 3 minutes. The first 90 seconds is for person A to practice on person B. And the second 90 seconds is for person B to practice on person A. Is this crystal clear? Sort of-ish. You're all busy doing the stuff, which is great. All right, 90 seconds, practice. At the end of the 3 minutes, we have a prize for the one person who's first to come up here. You learned this today, and you're willing to share this in front of everyone else.
You see right through the mess inside me.
60 seconds left before you change over.
Call me out to pull me in. You tell me I can start again, and I don't need to keep on hiding. I'm fully known and loved by you.
Joy, you're not writing, you should be writing. You're listening. You're a good listener.
And it's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known.
30 seconds, then it's time to change over.
And loved by you, I'm fully known. And loved by you. It's so like you to keep pursuing.
Are you talking about God and stuff? You're not doing the budget or something like that?
But guard my heart with your truth, the kind of love that's bulletproof, and I surrender to your kindness. Oh, I'm fully known.
Okay, that's 90 seconds up. Time to swap over if you can, or quickly, then swap over. Just 90 more seconds. And then there is a prize for the first volunteer at the end of the 90 seconds, who I say who'd like to, who comes up and does the bridge from memory without help. Taylor, we need a prize. A pen, a t-shirt, coffee. Carmel has a prize. Carmel is the prize. She's a volunteer. Got it. Fantastic.
Now I cannot find the reasons why you give me so much. I'm fully known.
Okay.
And loved by you. You won't let go. No, you won't let go. No matter what.
30 more seconds before we call for a volunteer.
It's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known.
Left.
And loved by you. So unusual, it's frightening. I'm fully known and loved by you.
Awesome. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the stakes are high. We have on the table a free hardcover copy of Just Walk Across the Room, which will be signed by you. Without further ado, we want to give this away to the first person. You learned that today and you want to give it a go. You want to try share it in front of everyone. The book is here if you can do it. We all want you to do well. The microphone is here. Who's first up? Give her a hand. Come on. Ladies and gentlemen, could you remove the aids from the screen? Mbesa. Whoa, okay.
Okay.
Wait, no, I'll set you up. Mbesa, you've been such a good friend. And you've listened to my story, and you just, I can tell you, just try and help wherever you can. And I know that you say you do that because you are a follower of Jesus. Can you tell me, why is this Christianity thing important? I mean, what's it all about?
All right. So basically, it's not rocket science. And this is it, in a nutshell. So it's about love. It's the greatest love story you will ever hear. So we have God.
Yes.
And this is us.
I'm tracking.
Yes. So now, we were lost in sin and there was no hope for us.
Yes.
So that created a gap between us and God.
Wow.
And because of this gap, we try to find ways to fill in, like to bridge the gap.
I do, yes.
So you find, so going to church, giving offering, tithing, doing all sorts of good things.
Yes.
Things that appear good to us.
Yes.
But none of that can fill this gap.
Yes.
It only takes God.
Wow.
So that is why God gave us his son to die on the cross.
Wow.
And act as a bridge between him and us.
Wow.
And now we can always access his presence.
Give her a hand! There's a great job. Awesome, Bessa. Absolutely fantastic. Friends, let's stand together. Let's close in prayer. God, we want to thank you for what you're doing amongst us as a body. We thank you that like Mbesa did today, that we can each learn your story and learn to tell it better than we could yesterday. And God, we want to thank you that your grace is enough. We want to thank you that where we fumble to find the words, where we aren't clear enough on our stories, God, thank you that we have your grace and love like mighty rivers that are carrying us along and that are flowing through us. God, thank you that you did your part for what you did in sending Jesus to die for us. And God, thank you for including us, giving us our part to tell your story and to tell our story. And God, it's our prayer that we become people who tell your story and tell the story of what you've done in our lives so, so clearly, because the city needs to hear it. And everyone present said,